Program guests and Craig Roberts not affiliated with Vitucci & Associates. Information provided for illustrative purposes only. Does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information obtained from sources deemed reliable, but accuracy and completeness not guaranteed. Vitucci & Associates have no liability for information discussed. Consult with qualified investment, tax, or legal professional prior to taking action. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. Vitucci & Associates and United Planners Financial Services are not affiliated.
The views and opinions expressed are based on current economic and market conditions and are subject to change. All investing involves risk, including the potential for loss of principal.
Pat Vitucci says, don't invest and forget. Invest and forget. Invest and forget.
Welcome to Don't Invest and Forget, a weekly financial news magazine designed to educate and equip you with the roadmap and direction you need to manage your money, meet your financial goals, and instill confidence in your investment choices on the road to retirement. Your host is author, radio commentator, and investment advisor, Pat Vitucci of Vitucci & Associates. With over 30 years' experience in the world of finance and investment planning, Pat specializes in personal and corporate investment management, with special emphasis on retirement planning.
The Conference Board's leading economic index, which tracks 10 indicators of the health of the economy, shows higher interest certainly have cooled inflation. But while the index has also been signaling a recession for months now, there remains little signs of one, at least not yet. Welcome to this edition of Don't Invest and Forget, the program that every week helps you keep your finger on the pulse of your money from Wall Street to Main Street to your wallet. Our host, 30-plus year financial manager and author Pat Vitucci, along with our Don't Invest and Forget man on the street, Charlie Coain, and I'm Craig Roberts. Well, Pat, interesting, once again, sort of mixed news. We hear that housing starts are up 2.2% in the month of April, but contrasting that, Home Depot sales are beginning to slow. The debt ceiling, of course, continues to be a critical debate. Well, most experts say it's simply political posturing, and the sense is, come hell or high water by the end of May, they'll get the job done.
Yeah, the whole debt ceiling issue is political football that continues to be kicked around the field, but I think ultimately both parties are pragmatic enough to get a deal done. It certainly has been a challenging issue, and the Dow Jones Industrial is flip-flopping almost daily, a couple hundred points up, a couple hundred points down. Depending on the comments that come out of the meetings between President Biden, Speaker McCarthy, and cadre of people that join them in those meetings, but I think there's just too much at stake, Craig, to have the debt ceiling not adjusted accordingly. Of course, both parties love to spend, like the tax and spend. So we have this political issue that really boils down to, can the government function legitimately in the next 6 to 12 months with this giant $30-plus trillion debt hanging over there? And guys, it represents about 15% now of the national budget. And so when you look at how much interest we're paying on this debt, when interest rates were 2%, 1% change, 0.5%, it was about 5% of the national budget. Now it's 15%. Well, that's just not sustainable. I don't care what anybody says from any political party. It's just not smart money to be spending. It's like you or I spending consistently 150% of what we earn. I mean, how long can you do that before you start living under a bridge? Well, the government has the luxury of printing money, and that's how we got us into this mess in the first place. But I'm not optimistic they're going to come up with any practical solution. Maybe a Band-Aid, but the Band-Aid has to get ripped off once in a while. And therein lies the potential shock to the economy and, frankly, shock to the world. If we don't cover our debts and we declare bankruptcy, that could spiral into a world depression. Fortunately, unfortunately, we're the big consumers on the planet, and China loves sending all their stuff to us because we buy it all. If our buying stops to the degree that we are in currently, the world will go into a depression, and gosh knows how long it will take to recover from that kind of thing. So it's a cascading issue. And we've seen, you know, Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, First Republic, other banks really going into bankruptcy given this high level of interest rates. The question is, will the Federal Reserve raise interest rates again, or will they take a pause? Probably a 50% chance it's going to pause. and 50% they'll raise another quarter point. But it's beginning to really have a detrimental effect. Bankruptcies go up a lot in the last month or so. We've seen consumer debt hit record high, $17 trillion in the first quarter of 2023, despite a sharp pullback in home loans due to rising mortgage rates. Student loan debt is edged up to $1.6 trillion on the student loan issue. More bankruptcies. Vice Media, we saw Bed Bath & Beyond recently. We're starting to see the effects of this high interest rate issue, and you can't go on forever. A company called Envision declared Chapter 11. Their obligations are over $7 billion. So it's having its desired effect. Federal Reserve is wanting to slow things down, and sadly, there'll be casualties along the way, as we have seen, when companies depend on borrowing to buy their goods and services, even to put online, have an effect on the market.
There's a bit of a dichotomy here, though, Pat, isn't there? You raise the question kind of tongue-in-cheek that, gee, if the average American family spent money and raised their own personal debt similar to the federal government, what would happen? Well, here's a bit of the answer. We're getting a report now, figures out of the New York Federal Reserve indicating that consumer debt hit a record high of more than $17 trillion. That's as of the first quarter of this year. $17 trillion. So that's just slightly more than half of the federal deficit, which maybe suggests that even though there's a talk of the Fed wanting to cool consumer spending through interest rates, nevertheless, maybe we've shifted from spending money out of our bank to out of our credit card, and raises questions in terms of how all of this is potentially going to impact retirees who may be dealing with higher inflationary rates at the checkout stand, at the grocery store, and elsewhere, and yet potentially still have that habit of wanting to maintain a lifestyle that their income and interest rates simply can't support.
There's no question. The higher interest rates is having a dramatic little effect on spending. Retail sales rose for the first time in several months. Where spending on cars, food, and gas increased by 0.4%. Not surprising. We all have seen sticker shock at the stores. And the other contradictory issue to what we're talking about, home builder sentiment on the rise for the fifth straight month, it's all come down to supply and demand. There's no supply, very little supply of existing homes for sale. So what does that do to demand? It accelerates demand, and fewer homes on the market, you're going to get kind of probably what you're asking for in your asking price for your home. So until we see interest rates start to subside and go the other way, I think the housing market, for new home sales at least, will remain fairly healthy. So that's one of the contradictory issues that we see result of the Federal Reserve raising interest rates.
The whole thing, Pat, about the debt ceiling, I mean, politically, people don't want to get anywhere near that, though, right? They don't want to be advocating that we start paying that, but it just doesn't want to think about it.
You think about it, politicians are always looking for the next re-election campaign. It's not sexy to run on a policy that says, we're going to reduce spending, we're going to increase retirement age from 65 in a couple of months to 70. Look what happened in France. Macron is trying to raise, I think, from age 62 to 64, and they're rioting in the streets, not even taking into account the longevity issue. We're all living longer, and to think we're going to get full retirement at 62, even in this country, seems absurd. So imagine if our politicians were watching and said, let's raise retirement age to 65 and a half years to 68 and a half. I mean, there would be rioting in the streets. And yet, in reality, pragmatic solution to the Social Security shortfall is exactly that. You've got to raise retirement and reduce benefit levels. But you don't have that courage in Washington, D.C., Charlie, to make a stand. And any politician that runs on promise of raising retirement ages, guess how many votes they're going to get, right?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, I know, and getting way down to the very bottom of all this action. I've been hearing recently, you know, in the Bay Area, they want to increase the parking meters from, you know, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and include Sundays and just raise the hours when you have to put in your nickels and dimes and quarters. That's sort of similar, only on a very small basis, but people will not like that. You know, if it's Sunday at 8 o'clock and you got to 8 o'clock at night, and you've got to put another quarter in to get another 5 minutes or whatever it is lately.
Well, and clearly indicative, Charlie, of the notion that the cities are becoming strapped for cash as well, so they're trying to get creative in every way that they can. We've even heard reports of police departments that are cracking down on what used to be sort of just minor infractions. They might give you a warning if you got pulled over for, say, failure to wear your seatbelt. Now they're writing tickets out right and left because they recognize that that is another non-traditional source of revenue for counties and local municipalities.
That's true. And you know, one thing that I noticed in Arizona that I don't know or if we ever have it around here was they have speed limit cameras, and if they catch you going over the speed limit, whatever that means, you know, they don't stop you. There's no police out there, but you'll get a ticket in the mail. And, you know, so people are very careful driving when they know these cameras are out there. And if they're speeding, you know, they get a ticket in the mail.
Yeah, this is true in many cities around the San Francisco Bay Area and around the country, really, are looking for additional streams of revenue. Oftentimes, these come through fines. You can't park on the street for so many hours. Or in downtown areas, they're increasing the number of hours that you have to pay to park. Sundays used to be free. No more. All of this having downward pressure, particularly on retirees who might think that moving to Florida, moving to Arizona is going to be a cheaper way of living. But as we're beginning to see, even with housing prices, that's not necessarily the case. It raises questions related to the cost of living, not only in major metropolitan areas like the San Francisco Bay region, but, Pat, even areas that had been for years strong magnets for retirees, places like Arizona and Florida, are beginning to become almost cost prohibitive. That raises an important question. As somebody is beginning to ponder retirement and what their plans are going to be for the next stage, the next phase of their life, at what age is it ideal to start asking those kinds of questions? And what kind of questions does a person need to be asking? Certainly, what my income's going to be, a big question, but I would imagine, too, cost of living, where you live, things of this sort that go into that ultimate decision once you reach full retirement age, or if you're lucky, retire a little bit early. Can you give a sense to our listeners as they begin to ponder, when should they start and what questions should they ask themselves?
That's a great question, Craig, and we get those questions every day, questions like that come in to our office, and it really boils down to taking an inventory of your debt and your assets. Your assets and your liabilities are what's going to carry you for the next 20, 30, 40 years. And having that inventory of your cash flow is really important when you decide not to get that weekly deposit salary check any longer. And it's really going to drive the decision, do you move to Phoenix, you move to Texas, you move to Costa Rica. It's all driven by what your inventory of assets looks like, how much have you paid down your debt, do you own your home mortgage-free. So it's that inventory of cash flow, and we do that on a regular basis in any one of our Bay Area offices. It's remarkable, if you complete basically an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and you determine what your next 20 or 30 years looks like. You kind of wake up after working 40 years and let's see where I stand relative to what my next 20 or 30 or 40 years is going to look like. And it's a real eye-opening experience. And sometimes it's, wow, we're in really good shape. We can afford to stay in the Bay Area, or we have to move to Costa Rica or Southeast Asia or other parts of the world. And those are just pragmatic, real-life decisions. I got to tell you, in most cases, people are pleasantly surprised by how much they really have in terms of assets, in terms of cash flow. When you think of Social Security checks and maybe a pension check, maybe you've got some rental income, your required minimum distribution from your 401k, your 403b, your IRAs, gather all that together and you come up with a sustainable cash flow picture, that's going to really drive direction of where you're going to live for the next many, many years. And so it's always interesting to spend that hour with a new person that says, you know, how do we look? How do we stand? And trust me, we take off rose-colored glasses, and it's a real cold, hard look at the numbers. And then you're back into a lifestyle that is commensurate with your cash flow. And if you've done a good job and you've saved your nickels and dimes over the 40 years, you're probably going to be just fine. Again, it really depends on a lifestyle issue at that point. You can do the numbers all day long, but the question is, where do you want to live? Do you want to be close to grandkids or friends or your church or synagogue? That's going to give you a really clear and crisp picture as to what your next many, many years is going to look like.
Pat, let's talk about readjusting expectations. And, you know, certainly, as you indicate, it's been a bit of a mixed bag in terms of financial news. While we continue to see stronger than we'd like inflation numbers, in December we saw 6.45%. January that dropped to 6.41%, but a far cry from 2-point-something to 3.0 rate that the Fed would like to see, but nevertheless still much better than what we experienced last year, which is averaging about 7.48% per month. But along with that, we see inflation, as we say, starting to edge slightly lower. The unemployment numbers continue to be low. We see some sense of stabilization apparently going on Wall Street, at least not the severely wild swings that we saw last year. I guess the big question is, in terms of climbing back out of this situation, as things begin to return to some level of normalcy, though it may not be the old normal that we had come accustomed to with housing prices going through the roof, et cetera, et cetera. Overall, when it comes to readjusting one's expectations, I guess that needs to be done as much as readjusting one's portfolio to meet market conditions. How should people expect this to eventually work its way out? In other words, is this going to be a fast rise back out, or do you think it's going to be slow as we move in toward the third quarter?
Yeah, I think there's so many determinants to determine if it's this soft landing that we speak of, or is it going to be a hard landing and recession's going to get worse and inflation's going to get worse and China invade Taiwan. I mean, there's so many macro issues out there that can spook with the market in a New York minute, as we say. But if we have a calm macro view kind of year, I think the data suggests it's going to be a gradual decline in inflation. Yes, unemployment may tick up a little bit, but we're at such historic lows, I don't think it's going to be a meaningful number. And then you'll start to see some confidence. High tech and biotech have been the driving industries, Craig, for so many years, and I think they will resume that role once we get some level of confidence in what this administration is doing, how they're spending money. Once high-tech and biotech comes back, I think, you know, happy days are here again. So it may be the second half of 23, it may be the beginning of 24. That remains to be seen, is how quickly do we see this return to pre-COVID numbers and pre-COVID confidence numbers. I think that's the big issue, is the consumer price index. And when the consumers come back in a big way, that's when you'll know we're going to return more quickly to a good spending market. We're exponential money being spent on travel and cruising, and airlines are doing really well. So the travel industry is doing well based on this pent-up demand that people didn't travel during COVID. And so now they're out, they're going to restaurants. And so that's why you saw, I think, last month, spending increase quite substantially. And so if that trend continues, I think we'll see a more robust and quicker rebound.
With great irony, frequently at the ends of our discussions, we raise more questions than we're able to answer. And I guess that's just indicative of the changing face of the world of money these days. If perhaps questions have been raised for you, in particular related to your capacity to retire and retire in the fashion in which you've always dreamt, maybe you'd like to get some insights as to where you're at along the way. How much money have you set aside? Will it be adequate to take you to and through retirement? When will you be eligible to retire? Why not call today and take advantage of that complimentary financial health retirement plan review available in any of the Bay Area offices? Simply call toll-free 888-PLAN-WISE, that's 888-PLANWISE, or if you prefer, you can schedule that appointment online. Go to don'tinvestandforget.com. That's don'tinvestandforget.com, or toll-free 888-PLAN-WISE.
You've been listening to Don't Invest and Forget with author and investment advisor Pat Fitucci. To gain more information about any of the topics discussed on today's program, or to schedule your appointment for a no-obligation financial plan tune-up in one of Bay Area offices of Fitucci & Associates near you, go to don'tinvestandforget.com. That's don'tinvestandforget.com. Or call toll-free 888-PLAN-WISE. That's 888-PLAN-WISE. Or visit don'tinvestandforget.com.
Program guests and Craig Roberts not affiliated with Fitucci & Associates. Information provided for illustrative purposes only. Does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information obtained from sources deemed reliable, but accuracy and completeness not guaranteed. Fitucci & Associates have no liability for information discussed. Consult with qualified investment, tax, or legal professional prior to taking action. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC, Fitucci & Associates, and United Planners Financial Services are not affiliated.